is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Realtor Matt Sweeting of One Oak, Bahamas is here to finish what we started 2 weeks ago. That is, to continue to provide you with great tips and sound guidance that will empower you in the purchase of your own home. As we said last time, and continue to say today, for some of you, a repossessed home is the way to go. So grab a pen, get ready to take notes, and let's get this hour of real estate empowerment on the way, shall we? I am attorney Indiana Fitzgerald, your guest host for the morning, and you are listening to Guardian Radio AM Live on 96.9 FM. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. This is attorney Indiana Fitzgerald in your company, and it's such a pleasure to be here with you this morning. And I'm not alone in studio because today my guest is here. He is expert realtor Matt Sweeting, and we're here to finish the conversation we started with you April 4th this year about real estate empowerment. In particular, those of you who don't have your own home, who can't afford a brand new home, who need a home on the cheap, something you may have to fix up, but you could still make your paradise. That's what we're here to talk about today. Good tips, great guidance from a man who's been in this industry for 15 years, ladies and gentlemen, 15 years. And if you were listening to the show April 4th, you will remember that he told us how he's a one-stop shop. He's got somebody there to help you with your financial situation. He's got some contractors on standby that can come to the house when you come to view a place and tell you what needs to be fixed and help you to assess how you need to bid on a home and what you'll need to do if you win that bid in a repossession situation and just fix that up the way you want it. And then, of course, he's the realtor that gets involved. And he makes sure that you get the property that you want. He told us a lot about how you can contact him so that he can put you on a list and let you know when new properties are on the market, repossessed properties are on the market, so that you could be the first to get in there and get your own home organized. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to welcome to the show today expert realtor Matt Sweeting. Welcome, Matt.
Good morning. Good morning. It's such a pleasure being here and seeing you face to face last time or last two times we did it virtually.
Yes.
So I'm glad to be here this morning.
Amen. And you know, Matt, what I want to encourage people to do today, because they said the last time you were here, they felt really encouraged about getting their own homes. And I want that spirit to continue. We are about empowerment. I'm about empowerment. You're about empowerment. You've been doing it for a long time now. Is I want people to break that curse on their family. You know, four generations of your family may never have owned a single home in their life. Today is the day I hope you decide that you're going to break that curse. You know, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And that goes for women, too. You may be single, but you have these children, and you want to leave something for them when you die. I'm not pushing you to die soon now. But when you go, you want to have that. You know, Oprah Winfrey says land is something you should always buy because no more land is being produced in the earth. So get your piece of the Bahamian rock. Don't let somebody else come in your country and own up all the land and you don't have nothing, you just renting. When you die and you only renting, what inheritance is there to leave for those that you leave behind? And, you know, it's important to give ourselves and our kids a head start now because life is so hard today. You know, back in the day, you could count on making a couple dollars and buying a little flat, like they say, 5-pound lot. Well, you know, ain't no lot around here, 5 pounds now, you know? So today is the day I want you to just set a date. Set a date in your mind. Say a year from now, I'm going to be with all my money in hand, ready to purchase. Or a year from now, I'm actually going to be in my home because I'm going to do the work. I'm going to talk to Matt and people like Matt, and I'm going to get all the advice that I need, and I'm going to be in my new home 1 year from today. I know the world is in turmoil, war everywhere, rumors of war, blah, blah, blah. But the life still goes on in spite of all of this. The wealthy are still buying. You got to think like a wealthy person. And if you could find a mortgage for $700, $800 rent a month, you sure could find $700, $800 a month to pay your mortgage and pack on your house and fix it up the way you want it to be fixed. All right? So, without further ado, let's go back into some of the stuff we were talking about that whole process of getting a bid in now before the bank, because the bank has this property to sell that's cheaper than the normal bank, than the normal property would be because it is repossessed. It may need some repairs, but you need some help now with what needs to be done in the bidding process and so on and so forth. And so that's why Matt and I are here to help you today to know what it is you need to do in order to get to that next place where you're actually putting down your money, you're going into your sales agreement, and you're getting ready to buy, okay? So, Matt, let's just stop here for a minute and let's talk about the fact that, you know, if there are repossessed properties on the market that people want to buy, there's some ways they can pay for it, eh? They can pay for it fully with their cash. They can pay and put cash down to some extent and then obtain a mortgage, or they can obtain a mortgage for the whole thing, eh?
Correct. Yeah, and so you got multiple ways to do it, and very few of us have that liquidity to buy a property, whether it's $50,000, $75,000, or $150,000, mm-hmm, in cash. And so most of us are going to be going to a financial institution to finance the majority of that purchase price.
Right. And, you know, Matt, when the bank is about to accept your bid on a property, the bank wants to know several things. For one, they want a pre-qualifying letter, eh?
Correct.
And what is that? Just remind people of what that is.
And so it's not the bank that wants it. It's usually the vendor or the agent that wants a letter saying that, hey, you've already done a step in determining what your qualification or ability to purchase is. Mm-hmm. And you go to your financial institution, you said, hey, I'm considering buying a property, buying real estate. Mm-hmm. I want to know what I'm qualified for. Mm-hmm. They'll look at your income, your expenses, and they'll use that number based on their debt service ratio to determine how much they are willing to lend you. Mm-hmm. And so they usually produce either via email or document a letter that says Jane Doe is qualified for $250,000.
Right.
Now you're empowered. And so what we've been able to do, and my company and my team, what we've been able to do is now help people get better offers by having that in hand. Right. Oftentimes people feel that if I show the vendor, the owner, the agent that I'm qualified for $250,000, they're going to try to make me spend that. But what we have found is that vendors appreciate seeing that letter, because what that letter does is tell them that this is not a tire kicker. This is someone that's ready to move. They're ready to go. They've already taken that first step in terms of qualification.
Right.
And now all they need to do is come to the right terms on the property, mm-hmm, and we'll be good to go.
And is there a charge for this pre-qualifying letter? Because you know the bank charges you for everything these days.
Yeah. So most financial institutions do not charge for this pre-qualification letter. This is a free service. They mm-hmm. want your business. They're going to make their money from lending you money, not writing pre-qualification letters. Mm-hmm. And so more often than not, this is a free service.
And, you know, when people are about to enter the sales agreement, which will start to move things towards purchase, right? There is a deposit that is required to be paid at some point to hold the property, as it were.
That is correct.
What is that rate normally?
Yeah. So more often than not, that rate is 5%. And that is because most or a number of financial institutions are willing to lend you up to 95% using something they call indemnity insurance. Mm-hmm. And so the 5% is your portion or your contribution of the total purchase price.
Mm-hmm. So, Matt, there may be people who say, well, Matt, you know, you said come to you and let you help us get a property.
Yes.
That we can be satisfied with.
Yeah.
But you saying that to me, you're saying that to Susie, you're saying that to Bob, because all of these people have come to you with interest in property.
Yes.
So if you have, for example, a situation where you have 10 of your clients, come to you and say, we all like house A.
Correct.
Right? How do you reassure each one of those clients that you are looking out for all of their best interests, that you're not going to favor one over the other, give one some secrets about the property, or tell one, you need to bid a little higher because John just bid $20,000 more than everybody else.
Yeah.
How do we get that reassurance from you today?
Yeah. So how do you get it from me today? Well, it's my commitment. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I'm very intuned about, and, you know, I always go back to this Wendy's illustration. Unfortunately, I eat a lot of fast food.
Mm.
and so no matter where it is that I go, I come here to the Guardian, and I'm aware of the customer services offered here or wherever I go.
Right.
And so in my own agency, you know, the One Oak stands for one of a kind. And one of those parts of that one of a kind acronym that we strongly adhere to is customer service and making sure that we're providing exceptional service for clients. Mm-hmm. And so that commitment is that when you say, hey, Matt, I'm qualified for 250, Matt, I need help with this. Mm-hmm. Matt, this is the most I can do, that I'm going to make sure your best interests are met.
Right.
And that's our customer service commitment. And so when I'm conflicted, meaning that Jane and Jack have offered 150 and Jack is coming to me and saying, Matt, what do you think is my mm-hmm. best way to get this done?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, hey, Jack, listen, this property is a very attractive property. It's only been on the market for 7 days. There have been a number of offers already. Not right. telling Jack what those offers are.
Right.
Right. But letting him know that this is an active property. So you might want to make your best and final offer mm-hmm. in hopes that you might get this property.
So each person that you deal with, if you have 10 clients all wanting the same property, you treat each one of their situations confidentially.
Correct.
Excellent. And that's how it should be.
That's how it should be.
That's how it should be. So you've said to me before, as we talked about this whole process prior to the show, that sometimes you may have a situation in which somebody, let's say a property, there's a bid out there for, let's say $200,000. But that person who can afford the $200,000 price has to get a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody else in your grouping may want that same property. They have $150,000 in cash.
Right.
You say there's a case where the bank, although they could get more with the first person for $200,000 through a mortgage scenario, the one with $150,000 cash, the bank may actually take that?
That is correct.
Tell people why.
Yeah. And so what we've been finding, especially in this market, is that getting financing is tough.
Mm-hmm.
We've had no transaction. And you know, again, this is no indictment on any of the financial institutions. There's a lot of bureaucracy and due diligence that needs to be done. And so financing takes a while. Mm-hmm. You know, we have seen conservatively 4 months, but we've seen transactions go in excess of a year.
Wow.
Just in the financing process. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is that any vendor, whether that vendor in the case that we're talking about is a financial institution that's looking to dispose of property or even a private seller, they know that when I go to contract with someone using cash, mm-hmm. it's not speculative.
Right.
It's not contingent on whether the bank is going to give you financing. This is a sure deal.
I'm going to get all my money up front. I don't have to wait 25 years for a mortgage to complete itself in order for me to get fully paid for this house.
True. And you don't need to wait for the financing to be completed, which could be up to a year, yeah. at minimum 4 months for me to get my money in hand. This could happen. I've seen cash transactions happen in the somewhere to the tune of about 30 days.
Wow. You know, Matt, just last night, as I was watching something on our local television channel, there was a lady there from, or maybe it may have been on, over my Facebook, one of the two, but there was a lady there from Mortgage Corp, and she was talking about, you know, the fact that financing does take a long time, many, many months. So I see your point that, hey, the bank doesn't want to go through that hassle. The property is already repossessed. They're already upset that you couldn't pay this mortgage month for month. They just want to get this off their books. And if cash is there, cash is still king. I don't care how much we talk about making this a cashless society, cash is still king. And I think your comments just now prove that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, no matter where you go, whether you're buying a car or whether you're buying real estate, we know mm-hmm. that cash is still king. Mm-hmm. And that for the purchase, for the ability to get discounts on the purchase, mm-hmm. the ability to close quickly, for all of these reasons, having that cash and liquidity is the way to go in this, especially in this market.
Yeah.
We've seen, you know, such considerable changes in this market. I want to speak to this just briefly that 2021 mm-hmm. is a different market than any market that we may have experienced in the Bahamas before. And the buyers that are coming on this market, I just saw some comments online about this that you cannot be not ready, right? You need to have your pre-qualification letter. You need to come to properties ready to commit.
Yes.
Right? You need to come there with the list of questions ready, and you need to be walking out of a property and talking to your agent, talking to me as your agent and saying, hey, Matt, I've seen the property. These were the things that were going to make me say yay or nay. I've seen this. I'm ready to commit today. Because this isn't the market, the real estate market right now, where you could say, well, let me sleep on it for 7 days
right.
and I can get back to you.
Right.
You have to be ready to commit today. We've been seeing active bidding wars. We've been seeing properties be on the market for 1 day. We just experienced this with a property, came back on market, went on market 1 day, mm-hmm. off the market the next day. We've been seeing a number of bidding wars in this market. Mm-hmm. So it's a different climate. You got to be ready.
And as you said before, you invite people to get you involved as a realtor. And the thing is, if you're the person trying to buy the property, your involvement is free. As far as the buyer is concerned, you don't charge them a thing.
That is correct. That is correct. And I call this the best kept secret in real estate, mm-hmm. right? Because oftentimes when someone hears me talk and they know that real estate is generally expensive, they assume that my service is congruently expensive, right?
Yes.
And so what buyers don't know oftentimes is that the vendor, 99% of the time, is paying the real estate commission,
right?
And so that there are two benefits there. That means that the service to you mm-hmm. is entirely free.
The buyer. And when we say vendor, we mean the seller, the property.
Correct.
So to you, the buyer, you could get a person like Matt in on the deal because you don't have to pay them anything.
Yes, yes. And the next part about that is, if you call the sign, mm-hmm. you're driving by and you said, honey, I love this house.
Right.
right? And you call the agent. When the agent is conflicted, right, you said, hey, agent, listen, I really, really want this house. I'll pay anything for it.
Mm-hmm.
He is now obligated to serve the owner's best interest. He has no agreement with you.
Wow.
He has what we call in law and real estate, it's fiduciary obligations.
Mm-hmm.
He only has fiduciary obligations to the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so his goal is to get the owner, or their goal is to get the owner the best price. With you having your agent,
mm-hmm.
that agent has fiduciary to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to ensure that when you say, I'm willing to pay $1 million for it,
mm-hmm.
then I can still try to get it for you at $250.
Right.
Because you're my client.
Right.
Right. And so The goal is to have someone represent you and your best interest in every real estate transaction.
So when you have a situation, Matt, where the bid that your client who's come to you and says, I need you to help me to get this house, the bank has accepted that bid, then you start to move into the sales agreement portion of the deal. Yeah. And so you have a situation in which you have how many days to try to now move from, I want to purchase this house, and so I need the titles and everything checked on this house to make sure everything is good, to actually concluding on that whole process.
Yeah. And so, you know, as I commented earlier, that this process could take anywhere from 3 months, mm-hmm. To upwards of a year. Mm-hmm. And so right after that offer is accepted, mm-hmm. There's going to be a request for a good faith or deposit that we talked about earlier.
Yes.
So not that we didn't accept your offer, where your money is.
Yes,
right?
Where's your money?
Where's your money? And that money is never shared with the realtor. That mm-hmm. money is to be placed with your attorney in escrow.
Right.
Right.
And that means they're just holding it. They're not supposed to spend it.
Correct.
They're just holding it.
And again, what they're going to do as attorneys is they're going to communicate to the vendor's attorney. So now this becomes an attorney to attorney conversation.
Yes.
And in that conversation, they're going to say, hey, I'm holding a deposit for Jane Doe. Please send me a draft agreement so that we can look at it and make sure that Jane is protected in this agreement.
Right.
Yeah. Once that is what we call perfected mm-hmm. and approved by both attorneys, mm-hmm. Jane, you, the client, will be called in to sign that agreement. Mm-hmm. Right. And then after that agreement is signed by you, signed by them, we are officially under contract. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the difficult process starts, the mm-hmm. title search starts, mm-hmm. the approval starts, the mm-hmm. conveyance preparation mm-hmm. starts, the mortgage document starts, the commitment letter. There are a number of processes that happen thereafter that take up the meat of time mm-hmm. in the transaction.
And tell people how you can lose your deposit. Mm. The yeah. scenario that arises.
Yeah, this is a good question. Mm-hmm. I have had a number of clients in my career lose their deposit. Mm-hmm. Number one, I think the way to avoid this is to make sure that you're working with the right attorney.
Right.
Make sure that you get good referrals from the person that's going to represent you in your real estate transaction. That's step number one. But mm-hmm. let me tell you the legality of it. So mm-hmm. in the offer letter that I'll have you sign, and in the subsequent sales agreement that the attorney will have you sign, there's mm-hmm. going to be a clause that speaks to financing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How many days are going to be allowed for financing, right?
And so this is determining that you have the money to get that mortgage
correct.
To pay this bill. Because
correct.
If you have cash, it's not really an issue.
Agreed. Right. If it's a cash transaction, yeah. this clause won't be in there.
Right, because you could take care of it.
That is correct. So mm-hmm. if this is a bank finance, that pre-qualification letter is a preliminary letter that's non-binding.
Right.
Which means that when the bank literally and confirms that the money you said you made and the mm-hmm. expenses you said you have are actual, mm-hmm. they're going to go through a legitimate qualification process. It was right. just preliminary before,
right?
Now, once they do a deep dive into your finances and into your expenses, they're going to go through an official approval process.
Do they charge you for this official process?
No.
Okay.
No. So now we're under contract. The mm-hmm. agreement is signed. Mm-hmm. You take the agreement into them with the appraisal. Now they have submitted these documents to the people that are making the big decisions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So in that sales agreement, there's a clause that says you have 21 days to receive financing.
Right.
If you do not communicate to them on the 20th day, on the 17th day, mm-hmm. hey, we don't have financing yet.
Yes.
We need
more
an
time.
Extension. Mm-hmm. If you do not say that,
right.
then it is assumed
you
that
ain't
you
got
have,
it.
No, that you have it. Mm-hmm. That you have it. And then we call, as what we call it in real estate and law, mm-hmm. your deposit just went hard, mm-hmm. which means that at this point it is forfeitable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now you're in the second stage of the transaction. They're expecting you to be moving towards closing
right.
because you have not said
you
that, you
do
have,
it.
That you can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so they're expecting now, okay, we in the latter part or the second phase of our transaction where we're expecting you to close based on that second timeline. So they're two date timelines in a transaction. There's the first part that's financing. Mm-hmm. The second part is closing. Mm-hmm. So usually there's 21 or 30 days for financing. Mm-hmm. And then there's usually about 45 or 60 days to close. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't show up with that cash, though, That's how your money is forfeited.
If you don't show up with that money at the end of that closing period, your money, your money gone.
And who gets the money?
The vendor gets the money. Mm-hmm. The vendor gets that money.
Wow, because you wasted their time.
Yeah. You had their property off the market for so long. They lost buyers. They incurred legal costs. Mm-hmm. Someone needs to pay it.
And I'm going to warn people about these sales agreements. Read them carefully. I had a situation one time with a client. They came to me after they'd already signed their sales agreement, Matt, and ladies and gentlemen of the public. And what happened was this particular seller was a real estate company in and of themselves. So they were selling property that they actually owned. Mm-hmm. And they had two companies, let's say Company A and Company B. So Company A was in charge of 50%, let's say, of properties they were selling, and Company B was in charge of 50% of the other properties that they were selling. And my client went, let's say, to get a property under the realtor's Company A.
Yeah.
But instead, when the realtor drafted up their sales agreement as the seller, they actually put the name of the Company B that was selling other property, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what it meant was when the documents were signed, pre-coming to me,
right,
my client had no contract with the realtor's company that was selling the property they were interested in.
Hmm.
You understand? I don't know if I explained that well enough.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was because the proper name of the vendor was not there.
Right.
So be careful. And then I had another instance where somebody came to me. I've never seen anything like this, that they had gone to a real estate company again, which was selling a lot of land in their own name. And so what they would do is every agreement they entered into with people, they would patch and paste,
mm-hmm,
right? The next agreement for the next client. So that led to a lot of errors. And come to find out, the people that came to me didn't even, the property that they went to see was not the property that was referenced in the sales agreement.
Mm.
Not only that, when they went to check out the property that was listed in the sales agreement, this was property that they did not want because it was on a part of a street where a lot of water used to collect. So they drowned in the property and never lived to enjoy it.
That's crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
And so what I had to do was write and speak to the realtor and say, look here, man, y'all got to give these people back their money and whatever, because this is not what they agreed to. If you can't give them what they ask you for,
yep,
then you actually have to give them back their money, because this sales agreement, this is nonsense. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, although you have attorneys out there and your attorney is supposed to be looking out for your interests, you still have to be vigilant too. You're an educated person. Read this thing for yourself. If you see something that looks strange, you ask your attorney question. What about this? What about that? Because you don't want to find out at the end of the day your money is out there and you out of property because you don't have an agreement for it. And then you know what happens when that's not properly set up. When you look, somebody else goes in there and swoops in and gets the property that you were there holding on out for.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just asking you to be very careful. But Matt, you don't have anything to do with the preparation of these sales agreements. That is with the, like you say, the seller.
Correct.
Yeah. But in the interim, though, when you're waiting for all of this to come to life, right? And for closing to happen, what are you doing as the realtor in between? Because you tell me that you do some work for your clients that really the attorney should be doing, but you want to make sure that your client is secure in the purchase that they're about to make.
Certainly. And so, you know, my goal is, as a real estate agent and as real estate agents globally, we are only paid on deals. We only get paid at closing. And so we are extremely motivated to do everything in our power to make sure that the deal is happening as quickly and efficiently as possible. And that's to your best interest, because obviously you want to move into your house.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, oftentimes what I've found myself to be doing is essentially mediating between attorneys and trying to help and assist wherever possible. So there's one instance right now where a financial institution, which is a little bit different, wants the boundary markers in place prior to the approval of financing, mm-hmm. right? Usually the boundary markers are a, what we call a closing contingency, right? Before we officially close and the dotted lines are signed,
right.
The people sign for the property, the boundary markers need to be in. But the bank that's providing the financing is saying, hey, we want the boundary markers in now. So the buyer now needs to come out of pocket mm-hmm. to pay for the boundary markers, which is usually a vendor's expense. I hope that's not too complicated. Mm-hmm. But again, this is me all in this transaction, liaising with the surveyor, liaising with the appraiser to go back and verify that the markers were there, mm-hmm. negotiating with the attorney on the vendor side to say, hey, are you willing to pay this lady back for putting in the boundary markers because this is your expense, but right. we know we're asking for it early. And so again, trying to mediate all of this communication and make sure that it happens efficiently and quickly.
And sometimes, you know, really your lawyer should be making sure, the lawyer for the buyer, making sure that, hey, things like real property tax are up to date on that property. Mm-hmm. The utilities are all paid off in full. And when that doesn't happen, you get involved in that too?
No. Usually at that stage when we're trying to settle all of those bills, and so again, you know, as you mentioned, BPL and water mm-hmm. and sewage, those mm-hmm. things can hold up a closing, right? Mm-hmm. These mm-hmm. things need to be settled prior to changing hands.
Yeah.
Usually at that stage, it's streamlined by that time, and by that time, the big hurdles are overcome. Mm-hmm. Paying a BPL bill and getting someone to settle that from, you know, is easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So by that time, I'm kind of out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about, before we try to open the phone lines, let's see if we have enough time to do that. I'm going to give you the numbers, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can start to call in now, and we'll try to fit your calls in before the close of the show. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Now, just let's tell people what sort of monies they're also going to have, because it's not just about having the money to purchase. Mm. You also have to have insurance.
Yes.
The banks require life insurance. Mm-hmm. So make sure if you kick the bucket before you pay this mortgage off, their bill is paid.
That is correct.
So they either expect you to come with your own life insurance policy or you're going to have to take one out with the bank.
Yeah. And so they more often than not, they're referring you to an institution to provide the insurance. Mm-hmm. But that's absolutely right. And so this is a surprise to many people as well, that you need life insurance mm-hmm. for the amount or above of the purchase price. So if you buy in something at $250,000, mm-hmm. you need a policy, a life insurance policy for $250,000. Mm-hmm. The bank is going to ensure that if you die, unfortunately, that their mortgage or your commitment to them is going to be met.
Right.
But as we talk about how much money is needed, you know, we've calculated the sum needed for a purchase is somewhere to the tune of about 13 to 15% of the purchase price, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're talking and we kind of talked about this on our earlier show, mm-hmm. a purchase of $200,000, 10% of that is $20,000. So we're talking $30,000 that you need for a purchase of $200,000. And so this could be a bit of a setback for a lot of people. This is one of the biggest setbacks, the cost of purchasing property.
So in addition to the $200,000 you may have to come up with for the purchase of the actual property, you also have to have another $30,000 in reserve for lawyers' fees and stamp and VAT on everything now.
VAT on everything. Uh-huh. But yeah, To be absolutely clear about that, the 13 to 15% that we're estimating includes value-added tax that you're going to pay on the purchase, mm-hmm. right? You're going to pay your attorney for two services if you're a buyer. Mm-hmm. The attorney is going to do a mortgage document mm-hmm. for you, mm-hmm. and then he's going to prepare a conveyance document for you. Both mm-hmm. of those services are, on average, mm-hmm. about 2.5% mm-hmm. plus VAT, right? So you have the down payment, which at minimum was 5%. Mm-hmm. Then you have the...
Because it could be as high as 10.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Then you have the legal costs, mm-hmm. which may in some cases be negotiated, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. on the face of it is 5% again plus VAT. So mm-hmm. now we're at 10. And then you need 5% of the purchase price for value-added tax on the purchase. Mm-hmm. A lot of VAT being paid. And so now you're at about 15% total
for the purchase. And so that 13%, the way that you save money is possibly negotiating with one of those professionals in that transaction.
And that's why they need to make sure to come to you, Mac, so you can get the best deal on the house for them.
Yes.
So that they'll have a little extra change, because that then you may also need a loan. Think of it now. If you need to repair that place, you may need an extra set of money added onto your loan in order to cover the price of some of the expenses repairs are going to cost you up the road. So look at it. Some people need some side jobs, some side legal side hustles. We're going to be back in just a minute with expert realtor Matt Sweeting of One Oak Bahamas.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, everybody. This is attorney Indiana Fitzgerald sitting in with expert realtor Matt Sweeting of One Oak Bahamas. And we are talking about real estate empowerment today. We're talking about actually purchasing repossessed homes so that you can have a home of your own to enjoy at a much cheaper cost than a brand new home. And Matt has been here telling us how we can do that, giving us the tips, giving us the guidance as to how we need to go about making that purchase. Matt, just tell us how everybody can get online with you, see what it is you have in your repossessed property inventory. And you're not just a repossessed property guy. You're the man who also sells homes on a regular situation. You do rental situations. Just tell us how to find you online, how to see those awesome videos you do regarding to property, and how to get on that list with you so that in the situation where we, they want to be notified of new properties on the market that can be seen and probably purchased, how they can do that.
Certainly.
Through you.
Yeah. So the best way to, the quickest way to get in touch with me is WhatsApp. My number is 808-6868. And it's a very easy number. I'll repeat it. 808-6868. And you want to send me a text and say repo or whatever it is. And then when you text me, I got a number of quick responses that I'll shoot to you. You send me, Matt, I'm looking for a house in Garden Hills. It's three bedrooms. It's under 200,000. Whatever it is. You put that in, and then my team and I go to work to helping you find that. And so, you know, just send me a WhatsApp right quick. If you're looking to sell, buy, or rent real estate, send me a communication, a text, a WhatsApp text at 808-6868, and I'll be glad to help you. Or if you had questions, feel free to call me after the show, and we can get on the phone for a few minutes, and I can answer any questions you might have about real estate.
If you want to call in, we apologize to the callers. I saw you online, but I see that you're now not there. If you want to call and ask Matt a question, we have another approximately 8 minutes with the show. You can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. I think we have a caller. Caller, you're live. Good morning.
Yes. Well, listening to your show this morning, boy, I couldn't just help but think of some bad experience I had with the real estate person. Me and my husband was trying to buy this property a while back.
Right.
Okay, we got involved with somebody, I think it's a real estate and a lawyer. Okay, they're showing us a few pieces of property first. They said we had to put some money down first. And the three properties that they showed us, if those properties were in court, you know, they say the deeds weren't good. So I asked my husband, I said, well, why don't you just ask the lawyer for the funds back? So, you know, he hasn't found you nothing that's, you know, that is sellable. So we said, no, I'll wait and see if anything pops up. Now, things got pretty tight with us. So when he went to ask him, he said, oh, that money was used up for property search. I said, but why property search when these properties weren't even good? And my thing is, I think there was a scam going on somewhere. So, I mean, it happened maybe about 6-7 years ago. And I just want people to be aware, you know, people who sell you property and then they go back and tell you, well, the property isn't good because the deed isn't good or it's a matter of good. Why sell something, you know, or give somebody the option, you know, hopes that, hey, you know, we'll get it sorted out.
Right.
Because right then, I really thought it was a scam because it happened with this particular lawyer and this person like three times.
And you had already gone through the sales agreement process?
Well, they showed us the property and they said, well, they was checking with and whatnot. Then they came back, you know, maybe a month or so and said that the property wasn't good and the deed wasn't good or, you know, or was tied up in court. I said, well, why was it on the market in the first place?
Right. Matt, when people come to you and they like they register a home with you, whether it's repossessed, a regular home or whatever, do you do any research into the title? Are you satisfied before you take it on, you put it up on your website? Or do, are realtors in general making sure before they put properties up on their website that, hey, basically there really isn't much question with this property?
Yeah.
And its ownership.
Yeah. And so as realtors...
Thank you, caller.
Very good question. And one suggestion I might have, madam, just to address her question, is maybe you might want to file a complaint with the Bahamas Bar
Absolutely. I was going there after you answered the question because particularly if you find that a certain lawyer is doing something that you deem untoward over and repeatedly, you make the complaint at the Bahamas Bar Association and allow them to investigate it and make sure they give you a response. And if you're not getting an answer in a timely fashion, you keep writing. And if they don't working on your situation, you come to the media and you report your situation. Media is very proactive today. You come and you report it. But are real estate agents required to check the validity of the title of properties that they're now about to advertise as properties for sale?
Yeah. And so most agencies, so we do not check the title. We do not do a comprehensive title search before we list a property. What we are receiving from clients is some confirmation of ownership.
Right.
That's in the form of a conveyance or a deed that's saying Jane Doe, who is signing a listing agreement with us and permission to list and market this property, is the rightful and or sole owner of that property that she's looking for us to sell.
And that's where you leave it, because then when you get to the sales agreement portion and the attorney goes to town checking title, that's where the real test is.
Correct.
And clearly, if there isn't good title there, then the deposit that has been placed there in the situation can be returned to the buyer.
That is correct.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. Caller, you're live. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
For Matt, please.
Yes. Ask Matt your question, please.
Okay, Matt. So recently, I was looking for some property, and I found a particular piece. It was with a banking facility, and I went through the process of securing an attorney, went through the process of getting a realtor. I made an offer, and when I made an offer based on the price of the property that was presented, I was told, I waited a few weeks, and was told by the bank that the appraised property, the appraisal was outdated, and they withdrew their offer from the table. How is that something that is that fair? Is that something that I should be aware of going forward?
Yeah.
In terms of looking for property.
Yeah, certainly. And so just for absolute clarity here, and turn your radio down for me.
Actually, I'm on my vehicle, so okay. I can turn it down. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better. And so you're saying that you would engage to purchase a property whose appraisal was outdated? Their appraisal?
The bank, the institution, yeah.
Right.
And
they withdrew it from the market for what reason?
They said that they had to reappraise the property because the appraisal that they found the appraisal price was outdated.
Right.
They told me the appraisal was outdated. I thought it was quite sneaky.
Yeah.
Because I accepted the offer. In fact, I presented a counter offer.
Mm. So,
I
hear what you're saying. So the ethics of that is arguable, right? They have the power. And again, I could still hear myself in the background. So I think it's.
You know what I'm going to do? Let me go ahead.
Yeah.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah. And so we just got notification, so we got a minute. And I'll be quick, and you could feel free to call me if you wanted to pick this up after the show. But from what I'm hearing from you, the bank has they have the rights to change the price without notice. And usually their foreclosure lists come with that disclaimer. And so it might be a legitimate circumstance where they got an appraisal and they failed to update that appraisal, and we're still publishing something that may have considerably changed in value. And so when they sat around a round table and they said, hey, this property that's worth $200,000, we've been marketing for $100,000, unfortunately, they are well within their rights to change that price without notice.
So
what I might suggest is stay on top of them and say, hey, I'm still interested. I want to know what your updated appraisal is. I've already engaged my attorneys. And when you get an updated appraisal, please let me be first in line to pursue this.
Thank you so much for calling. And I'm so happy all these ladies are calling in today. You know why? Because many of you are in that home, that rental situation. You're single moms, but you want to own a piece of the rock in the Bahamas for yourself and for your children and your children's children. And I'm so proud of you for calling in, because women don't usually make these calls into stations and say what they have to say or ask the questions. I'm so proud of you. And I pray that each of you will get the property issues that you have resolved. But I'm going to say again, go to a good lawyer. Ask around. Find out who are the expert lawyers in property, and pay for the consultation to get the legal advice that you need before you go and enter these purchases for property, so you can know what all is expected of you. And you know, a lot of people go and get in these mortgages with the bank, and I've been told by many that the bank won't even let you read the documents you're about to sign. Then when all hell breaks loose in the middle of your mortgage, you may be unable to pay, or you may have some difficulties up the road in the midst of of your mortgage, the bank reminds you that you did sign this document and you agreed to this and that, but you didn't understand that that was what you were agreeing to. So I don't know what the bank's position is today, whether they do let you leave with these draft documents, but I think that's something that the law should require. You get these documents in advance, you go and you talk them through with your lawyer when you're going into these mortgage situations, so you understand the level of commitment that you have to that bank. And because a lot of people don't realize, like I said last time, that when you have a scenario in which the you can't pay your mortgage and the bank takes your house back and tries to sell it over, that if they don't get enough to cover the debt that you left behind, they could still come after you for it. Right, man?
That is correct.
And so these are the things you need to understand before you commit. Do we still have another minute, or is it time now, Mr. Roll, to wrap up? Time to wrap up?
Let's take the next call. We got any other callers?
I think we're done.
Oh, Matt.
That time went by so fast, eh?
Always.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, give Matt Sweeting a call at One Oak Bahamas. What's the number again, Matt?
808-6868. Send me a WhatsApp now. Tell me you listened in. I just saw Portia's text. And so we really appreciate you listening in, but we know it's not enough time. Send me a text and let me answer your questions off air.
Thank you to my magic producer, Arlington Roll. He always does an awesome job.